Blog Talk Radio.
The Ralph Pointer What's Happening Show.
That's a musician. You know, she studied concert to be a concert pianist before she decided to sing. And
we're going to have to take over the radio station that says the home of electronic difficulties. We We don't want to become the home of electronical difficulties. But we
You mean with respect to the callers coming in or something?
Yes, it's we have problems.
Yeah, because you were going to start, but you.
It could be weather, because we're having strange weather here. It was warm, it suddenly got cold, and so I don't know what's happening. Because
there was there are a lot of electrical problems and cutoffs in the D.C. area too.
It's coming out of Atlanta, Georgia. It's so good to
hear. Yeah, well.
After the program, last week I tried to call you, but you were busy for an hour.
I must have called somebody about the show. Why don't we call after the show this week?
Pardon?
Ralph? Why don't we call right after the show?
We'll do. I'll call you right then.
Or I'll call you.
Pointer?
Okay, great.
I just want to let you know how very pleased we are to welcome you and your guests. That's Human Rights Demand, the Ralph Pointer What's Happening show. I have everyone's mic open right now. I wonder, did you hear me speaking at first?
I hear you loud and clear, but I did not for a few minutes.
Okay, you didn't hear me speak after the record.
Yeah, well, I heard you say about Nina Simone.
Okay. Well, I just want everyone to know that your mics are open, and I ask you to please be courteous to one another. And the host, who is Ralph Pointer, he will call on you. He will either call your names or he might call out your phone number. But we know that you're there. We're so thankful that you are. You will each generally have an opportunity to speak on air. But right now we want to hear from Mr. Pointer. How are you, Mr. Pointer?
Yeah, I'm fine, Mary Neal, and this is a wonderful evening. And I will let everyone know we are from coast to coast. We are building, and it is growing. And let's get right into the program. One of the things is what's happening and the way it is, the way things are. And if we understand and we communicate to the people what is real, what is happening, they will react properly. And so now this evening, we are talking about the issues that are happening around the world, and I think we have to start basics. And I was reminded today in the day's news of Yemen and the destruction in the Middle East and the Palestinian flight, etc. And I thought that when Lynn Stewart, Sister Lynn, was in prison, I would fly to Dallas, Texas, to visit her in prison. And when I asked directions, how do I get to Carswell Federal Medical Center? It kind of ended up Route 30 and follow Route 30 to Fort Worth, Texas. And then you'll see a sign that says Lockheed Boulevard. Remember Lockheed Martin. So I turned off on Lockheed Martin, and a few miles down the road, I made a left turn into Carswell Federal Medical Center. And I thought, and I want you to think, Lockheed Martin, Carswell Federal Medical Center. This is what Eisenhower talked about, the military-industrial complex. Look out for them, and look out. Eisenhower didn't say, we know. We have to look out for the penitentiary industrial complex, the prison industrial complex, and talk about the reality of these two complexes. And when it hit me, Lockheed Martin, I began to think about the trip from Dallas to Fort Worth, and on the way from Dallas to Fort Worth, on the right, Sikorsky. That is Black Hawk helicopter. This is the Sikorsky helicopter that was made so much money in Vietnam. Nonetheless, it's Lockheed Martin that made so much money on all of the wars. And in the middle was Boswell Hill Medical Center prison, where I went to visit Lynn Stewart. And you put those things together, and it is a constant. We see Yemen. We see the Palestinians in their camps. And we see the destruction. And I think it was announced today that most of the weapons, most of the weapons on both sides were contributed by the American military industrial complex. Yes, the weapons of America are destroying the world. And we don't want to get too far away from our subject of Black Lives Matter. Do Black Lives Matter? And our question that we raised last week, Bob, do Black Lives Matter to who? Or to whom, if you are an English major? Well, the issue is no lives matter except the money to be made by corporate militarism and the prison industrial complex. If you don't have money in the stock market, you do not matter. And even those people who have money in the stock market, they do not matter. Only the 3% matter, or as people have said, the 1.5%, and I will not debate that. The society is set up for that small percentage of people who really matter. The money matters, and the rest of us do not. And if we can put our heads together on that, we will win the day. Now, what is happening today is that we're sitting in America, and I like to talk about the subject that's closest to my heart is political prisoners. And I was on my way to Fort Worth, Texas, to visit the political prisoner who was closest personally, and that was Lynn Stewart. Lynn Stewart is out, she is home, and I would ask everyone to look, we are all on computer, to look and think and work around the issue of Mumia Abu-Jamal, who is dying. And I only say Mumia Abu-Jamal because he is dying and because he has been in jail for so long for working for the people. But we do not want to leave out Reverend Pinckney, who I consider one of the most important political prisoners, because he is in jail because he has found the answer to bringing down this corporate juggernaut that has us all enslaved. And when I say the corporate juggernaut that has us all enslaved, I'm talking about Whirlpool, because it is an example. Whirlpool Corporation is an example of the American corporate juggernaut. They export the jobs, throw people out of homes, and continue the takeover of communities, towns, in the same fashion that they took over the lives and the homes of the indigenous people in America. Now, I hope that people do not consider this rambling, and maybe I am rambling, and maybe as we have the guests who are on tonight, who will tie this up to bring this back into one struggle. Now, Reverend Pinckney is in jail because he found the answer to this corrupt political system. And the answer is recall. Recall those who we elected who do differently than what they claim they were going to do. And Reverend Pinckney had said, it is now in Benton Harbor, and I believe that the people who were calling in to tell us the history of Reverend Pinckney, but we have political prisoners, and now I'm going to tie it up, if not too succinctly, that political prisoners are in death camp. Let me declare, political prisoners are in death camp, and they are killed by the lack of medical care. Lynn Stewart was dying in prison, and when I was on many a radio program and a computer blog program, I said, Lynn Stewart will be freed by the people, or I will pick her up in a box. This goes for all of our political prisoners, and I do not want to be a part of a group that goes to pick up Mumia Abu-Jamal in a box, and I'm going to let that to other people to talk about with his imprisonment. And we must say, we must understand the basics. The basics of the compact, of the contract, of the voter, for the citizen, to the government, is that it is developed into a situation where the police, the so-called police, are the army of occupation. No more, no less, the army of occupation. And that leads us right into whose life matters, who black life matter, and it is Black Lives Matter to who or whom. They do not matter to the government. They do not matter to the army of occupation. And I'm hoping that the election tonight, and we will have another discussion on what elections can or cannot do. For me, elections are merely a tool of education. We will find out if the people of Ferguson, Missouri, voted on their own behalf, unlike the American public has voted in the interest of others, in the interest of rich, all of their lives. And so, without going on and on and on, I'm going to turn it over to the first caller on the list to call in, and I think it is caller from 0980 to speak on how they see the problem of today. Are you there? 0980. Hello? Am I on? Does anybody hear me?
Yes.
I hear you.
You're on air, sir. There's no 0980 showing. We have 4503-2869-7963 and 9759. I think that's you.
727-848-0980. You there? Nick, let me hear it.
No, it's I'm 727, but I'm not 0980.
Give me the number.
I'm 4503. Anyway,
okay,
just say Dick and I'll start talking.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was just kind of astounded. About 10 minutes before I dialed into the show, I got a call on the phone, and which reminded me that in the interest of keeping the lines open and clear, I have to disconnect my landline when I call in on my mobile phone so that there is no ringing. But this phone call rang, and there was a he said, I just moved into Virginia, and so he's calling me, and he says that he's a state trooper, and he would like me to contribute to a fund for police officers who have lost their lives in the line of duty. And I said, well, what about all the citizens who have lost their lives at the hands of policemen? And he hung up.
Okay. That is a good introduction. So continue with it. Rick, in terms of what we are talking about, do Black Lives Matter?
Well, you know, in one sense, all... Go ahead. You were going to get some guests from last week who didn't get to talk. They haven't called in, have they?
Yes, they have. So let's go to 1741.
Okay.
1741.
Okay, that's on 1741. Mr. Porter, that's Mary Neal. I want to tell you about Mamiya.
Okay, how about 7963?
712-201-7963.
You're on.
Hello, Brother Ralph. Can you hear me?
I can hear you clearly.
Yeah, great. It's great to hear your voice, and you know, I just want to touch on some points that you made. As I said, this is Larry Pinckney calling on behalf of political prisoner Reverend Edward Pinckney. I think that it is imperative. First and foremost, I want to segue quickly to yet another political prisoner, as you mentioned, who has been in prison for many years, decades, and that's Mumia Abdul-Jamal. We need to all be deeply concerned and aware of what is happening. Frankly, I personally think they're trying to kill him. But whether they are or they are not, the system certainly is trying to silence him any way they can. And all of us need to understand that our political prisoners represent the very best of all of us. As I wrote in many articles, when our dear sister and your wife and comrade, Lynn Stewart, was in prison as a political prisoner, you know, our political prisoners represent the very best of our humanity, the very best in all of us. So we are obligated, first and foremost, as human beings. Secondly, as politically conscious and aware people who are concerned about not only this nation, but people's black, white, brown, red, and yellow throughout Mother Earth. So I think it is imperative that we keep our eyes and our attention also on Mumia Abdul-Jamal. Now, getting back to Reverend Edward Pinckney, I have some wonderful news I want to share. The wonderful news is that his wife, who is an organizer and activist in her own right, that's Mrs. Sister Dorothy Pinckney, had the opportunity, after almost 4 months of not seeing her husband, she had the opportunity of visiting with and actually being able to touch Reverend Pinckney this past Friday. She made the report to our Central Coordinating Committee on behalf of Reverend Pinckney, and she said, among other things, that Reverend Pinckney remains strong and vibrant and determined. And this is something that all of us need to do. She also indicated that it was such a pleasure to be able to actually touch her husband, to be able to touch him. And, you know, again, all power to the people. This is about the struggle that is ongoing, whether it is Mumia Abdul-Jamal, whether it is Reverend Edward Pinckney, whether it is Leonard Peltier, the list goes on and on. But, you know, we need to also learn to touch each other. And when I say touch in this sense, I'm talking about each other's humanity, each other's consciousness, each other's determination to not only expose this system, because this is systemic, whether it's in Benton Harbor, Michigan, whether it is in Detroit, New York, San Francisco, Chicago, L.A., Oakland, wherever it may be, Oklahoma, you know, we have an obligation to one another to absolutely be determined to reverse, not only expose, but to reverse this economic and social apartheid. That's what it is, apartheid, apartheid. Let's be honest. So I wanted to share some good news. Sister Dorothy, Reverend Bentley's wife, was so excited to report to the Central Coordinating Committee on behalf of Reverend Pinckney that it was such a pleasure not only to touch him, but to see that he is remaining strong, determined, and vibrant in this struggle. So I just wanted to report some real good news and want to remind everybody to get there on April 14th. Get there on April 14th. Hello?
Ralph?
No, we have Larry. I'll let him finish.
To get there on April 14th, and by getting there on April 14th, I mean to Berrien County Courthouse. We need to surround internally and externally that courthouse with our sisters and brothers of all colors and say we will not tolerate this gross injustice, not only against Reverend Pinckney, but against all the people of all colors who are struggling against this economic apartheid, austerity, blood-sucking, avaricious system. And one last thing, and then I will get off. One last thing. Reverend Pinckney is calling for a boycott, national and international boycott of Whirlpool Corporation and its subsidiaries. Subsidiaries like Amana, as an example. Whirlpool has many subsidiaries who do not use the name Whirlpool, but they are, in fact, Whirlpool, owned and operated by them. So let's start this on the 24th. We started on the 24th of April. But first, let's get there in Berrien County, Michigan, or as I call it, Benton Harbor, Berrien County, Mississippi. Let's get there. Let's let everybody know that we support not only Reverend Pinckney, but in so doing, we support ourselves. I want to again thank you. I'm done. I want to thank you, my dear brother Ralph Pointer. I want to thank Sister Betty Davis. I want to thank, my dear sister Lynn Stewart. I want to thank everyone who has put this program together and who is making it real, everyone. And I'm going to end now. All power to the people. And as we say in Swahili, La Sima Tushende Imbila Shaka, which simply means we shall succeed, brother.
Thank you so much, Larry. And let us go to the next caller in. I think Dick was calling. Dick, would you like to add to that or have a discussion on?
No, you had another speaker. Speaker who wanted to get in.
Hey, okay. This is Ralph Schoenman.
Ralph Schoenman.
Yeah, I've been hanging in there, Ralph. I wanted to alert our listeners, brothers and sisters, to something that we put out for Taking Aim called When Black is White in America. It's a report by Fandisiswe Chimurenga concerning Maile Hampton, an African-American activist who is scheduled to be in court on April 9th on a charge of lynching, defined as removing a person from police custody. and it stems from a protest against police brutality. Actors and observers are paying close attention to the case of 20-year-old Maley Hampton in Sacramento and what it means for future protests against police abuse. She's scheduled to appear in court on April 9th, and she's charged with lynching for removing a person from police custody. She and many others were involved in ongoing protests over the killings of Michael Brown, Eric Garner, and Tamir Rice at the Capitol in Sacramento, California, at the time that a pro-police rally was taking place. And video of the protest shows the activists and others confronting the police, who were pummeling and stomping on an individual on the ground. And as the protesters got closer, multiple officers converged and began to beat on the protesters and grabbing individuals in the crowd. Section 405A and 405B of California's Penal Code states, taking by means of a riot of any person from the local custody of a police officer is a lynching, and every person who participates in said lynching is punishable by imprisonment for 2, 3, or 4 years. Hampton has been charged by the police as one of the people in the crowd attempting to pull people away from the police and to prevent them stomping them. She is being held on $100,000 bail, has since been released. Her attorney is quoted in The Guardian in London and saying, "What an irony that a woman of color at a public rally to shine light on police brutality is now being charged for lynching. What we call that is when black is white in America." And indeed, it's only the tip of the iceberg, as we all know, because there's another report, a national action against police brutality, prison food, rat poison, and the license to kill. This is a report about 22-year-old Ramsey Orta, a young man who filmed the NYPD killing Eric Garner and was then arrested immediately on a trumped-up charge and is being locked up at Rikers Prison in New York. Immediately following the killing of Eric Garner, Orta was stalked and targeted by police. They illegally searched him and arrested him and now are holding him in Rikers. And he has expressed concern for his safety because he's convinced that they are retaliating against him for exposing what was done to Eric Garner. He has taken the measure of not eating any food because he is convinced they are going to poison him. That is not a fantasy. Order's fears are well-founded. While behind bars at Rikers, dozens of inmates have reported rat poison in their food that has been admitted by prison officials and was reported to the New York Post. 19 different inmates were denied medical testing after bluish-green pellets were found in their food, and the prison had to admit that these pellets were rat poison. And they failed to give the inmates medical attention. They failed to offer any kind of explanation as to why the prison food is tainted with rat poison. So it is no fantasy that the police officers and the prison officers poison people, target them, and have in mind their elimination as soon as they get them in their hands. That's just a footnote on the reality of black and white in America today.
As Ralph said, death camps.
Yes, thank you, Ralph Shulman. We had asked you to come on last week to give us background on Yemen, because that is one of the issues that we see over and over in the media. And one of these discussions, we will ask you to come on and give our listeners.
I'll be very happy to do that, Ralph, anytime. As we speak, the Saudi military have raised 100 border towns, 150,000 troops. The Air Force of all of the Egyptians, of the Emirates, are actually saturation bombing all of Yemen. This is the 11th day of the Saudi-led bombing campaigns, pounding the country with concentrated strikes around Aden and the northern city of Sada. We can go into great particularity about that. There are thousands dead already and wounded, and it's ongoing. Aden, according to the reports, is strewn with dead bodies. Freshly wounded residents are flooding the medical centers. Hundreds have been killed. Thousands have been wounded. And what do you have in the media? You have discussions about an alliance of the United States, of the Saudis, of all of the subordinate feudal regimes who are in the process of massacring the population of Yemen as the Saudis expand the imperial control. And you can be sure of one thing that I want to make very clear. In the aftermath of this, the revolution in Saudi Arabia will unfold. Those 150,000 troops are going to come home, and they're going to rise up and overthrow this miserable regime. It's only a matter of time.
I certainly agree with that, and I cannot, if my words were to make it happen sooner, I would send those words out that as you prophesize, this will happen. But let us move on, and as we understand, black, brown, other white lives do not matter. The only lives that matter are the lives of the corporate giants of the world who corrupt and destroy everything around them for the economic gain. These are the lives that matter. The 99% do not. That those on the bottom of this ladder of oppression are people of color.
And Ralph, let me just make one final point about this. Quoting Anthony Cordesman of the Center for Strategic and International Studies, a key advisor to Obama, who posted in America, Saudi Arabia, and the strategic importance of Yemen. The new Yemen war involves essential U.S. global interests. The Pentagon must prepare to provide direct combat support for the Saudi-led war, Cordesman stated. U.S. strategic interests require stability in the Gulf and Arabian Peninsula. The CSIS chief, who is the unofficial foreign policy advisor to the White House in general and to Obama in particular, mm-hmm. Yemen is of major strategic importance, as is the broader stability of Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, etc. This is what we really have to understand about the dynamics of Obama's politics and the policies of the regime. It's permanent devastation, permanent war on the poor and the population that is suffering the most from the imperial hegemony that defines their existence. It is leading to something that they don't want to happen, but is inevitable, the collapse of all the regimes, including the one at home.
Well, thank you so much, Ralph. Shulman, we will get into this in later programs. The two things you touched on, that is Mr. Obama, and we must remember, even if it offends our friends, he is merely the black face on white imperialism, and all of the facts and that you have stated and the ones that you will state in the future point to that. And I would like to say that we must not be drawn into the feminist case on white imperialism represented by Hillary Clinton, but I'm not going to get into that so much. But understand that this, one of the reasons that the Saudis get so much of American armament is because they can pay for them in the front with petrodollars. And that opens up another discussion, but I'm not going to follow up. I'm going to look for the next caller. Pardon? Is Joel, the next speaker on this, to give us a point of view on the issues that we have. Joel, are you there? 917-8672. Hello? No response. 646... And the final number is 5188. Hello? Hello? Okay, 727-4503.
Hey, that's me, Ralph. I don't, I don't want to carry on at this point. I'd like you to get some of the guests who had something to say about events before we interpreted them.
484-3286. 3286. Are you there? You show on the board. Let us move on. The first three numbers are 330 and the last two numbers 2869.
Hi, how are you?
Ralph here.
Good. I want to bring up some points concerning the many young men and women both in high school. Hello?
Identify yourself.
I'm sorry?
Please identify yourself.
Oh, this is Dorothy.
Dorothy.
All right.
History, et cetera.
Yes. I want to speak of the young men and women, both in high school and in colleges, who are going into our military and ending up in our VAs that have been brutalized using seven laws of immunity. That's the Ferris Doctrine, Bivens Doctrine, International Intermilitary Immunity, Title VII, U.S. Code 552A, the 1947 National Security Act, and the Westfall Act. 57 questions allowed for the torture, the rape, the abuse, the drugging, and the sexual slavery and brutalization and shattering of our military men and women going back to at least 1960s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Well over 760,000 of our once confident young men and women have been destroyed. And when they went to the VA to seek help, they were systematically brutalized, broken down, and shattered more. I was an officer in the military, witnessed it, reported it in the 80s and 90s. I can only describe this as organized criminal trauma networks. They have destroyed relationships intentionally and deliberately, retaliated against these individuals simply for trying to recover and having been brutalized with no mercy whatsoever. I witnessed the lawlessness and the absolute refusal of any level of accountability. We do have good men and women in our services. Unfortunately, we also have a very criminal elite that clearly are working together with others throughout our country to deny any level, again, of recovery. They're denied any level of competent assistance by medical professionals in the VA and outside the VA. They use the False Memory Syndrome Foundation, denying that what they have been through is, in fact, what they've been through. And often their records have been totally falsified, changed, evidence has been stolen, and they're virtually driven into poverty. Now, these are typically good men and women who are, I won't call them whistleblowers, I will call them truth seekers and honest human beings. And the sad thing that is even more significant is that when they have remained peaceful and attempting to find help, they have been repeatedly brutalized as if the organized criminals are attempting to either push them into suicide, push them into becoming aberrant, or pushing them into joining ISIS or other kind of anti-honest regimes. And this must stop. I have witnessed it, I reported it, and any time I reported it, I've been systematically brutalized. And that included the murder of my partner after they destroyed my marriage years before. So thank you for listening. And many of these people don't even have a clue how badly they've been shattered.
Well, thank you for that these facts, this story, that reminds us of one of the issues or one that was carried in the New Yorker last month, and it was or last week, and it was talking about one of the soldiers who had been in Vietnam and follow up on the My Lai incident, which was only one incident, the incident that was reported of the horrific slaughter of the people of Vietnam who only wanted to be free. Now, there are several things that came out of the Vietnam Wars. And one of the things I like to point out, the number one thing, that Henry Kissinger, the mastermind, the so-called smartest of the smart in Washington, was talking about the domino theory. And it does not exist and many of the American soldiers died. There was a wholesale, outrageous destruction of the people of Vietnam who will suffer from this war for the next 100 years because of the chemical warfare carried out against the people of Vietnam. And as Malcolm X told us, chickens will come home to roost. And here I sit in Brooklyn, around the corner from a shelter, where most of the people in this shelter are Vietnam veterans. They cannot afford, with their pension and the problems they have, to live in a home other than a shelter. And every time I turn on the television and I see wounded veterans, people, or they are asking for the people to support the wounded veterans. The wounded veterans must be supported. The veterans of Vietnam and Iraq, people who did not understand that they are not fighting for anything but the corporation's right, to rob from the people overseas and to rob from us here in America. And so the corporations are not paying for their maintenance, are not paying for their care. So they ask the people to do so. So the people must rise up and force the corporation to support those who went around the world to destroy other people, other economies for the 99%. And we must constantly deal with and explain to Americans as best we can, because that American hegemony is not for the 99%, it is for the 1%. And so, with that, I'm going to move on to...
Wait a minute, Ralph. Wait, Ralph. Could I ask if Dorothy has ever... I mean, it sounds like she's got a very interesting story to tell, and it's hard to get it out in 5 minutes. Has she ever, you know, printed anything or... You know, like, this is Dick Minerly, by the way, and if in case you didn't know me. So, you know, have you ever printed anything, or Dorothy, or have you ever, you know, like, has anybody ever reported on this in greater depth? Because I'd really like to, you know, get into this a little bit. Maybe at the next week's broadcast, you can call in and give us a few more details. And, you know, your story is a tremendous indicator of just how bad the situation is in the military. We've got, first of all, the situation that, in truth, we want to tell everyone who volunteers for this service that they're really not doing a service for humanity, although they've been told that's what they're doing. That's not what they're doing. As Ralph says, they're serving corporations. They're serving the military-industrial complex. So how do we break through and try to, you know, reach these people? And then, well, of course, they find out when they're veterans. I'm a veteran myself, and I know the situation of how terrible VA care is. But nothing like you've explained there, Dorothy, and I really would like to hear more about it another time. I'm sorry, that's all the interrupting I'll do. Go ahead, Ralph. I'm sorry.
Yes, one of the things, one of our outstanding people who believed in the American system and then later found out tragically that the American system was not in support of the people, Cindy Sheehan, who ever since her son was killed in Afghanistan, and she became, this was the education for her, loss of her son, and she camped out on the grounds of Bush, and she traveled around the country, educating people, saying, I was a believer in the American system. Only when my son was killed that I understand that we have been lied to constantly and consistently, and she is doing something about it. And when she, whenever you hear the name Cindy Sheehan, go out, come out, and support her, because she she is someone who has understood what has happened, and she learned in a very difficult manner. And when she was talking about running for office, I said I would travel to California to support her and walk the streets and speak on her behalf, because she is someone who is worth listening to and has supported Lynn Stewart and others who are working to educate the people of America as to who runs it and who they run it for. I'm going to now look to 6160. 6160. You're there. 917-613. Okay, how about 718-789-0558?
Good evening. This is Betty Davis, and I wanted to piggyback on what the previous caller said, Mr. Minnelli and Dorothy. One of the things we have to recognize is, if you put it within the context of history, empires have always been slaughtering machines, and always the soldiers who did the slaughtering were the ones to suffer. I think one of the things that becomes obvious is that's why there were so many military, shall we say, episodes with the Roman, within the Roman army, because they had to have someone who could go to all the different continents and steal gold to pay them their salary. They never got the respect they deserved from the point of view of the sacrifices they were making then, and they're not going to get it now, because wars are about profit, and it's profit for the 1%, and has always been that way, regardless of whether it's the aristocracy in the corporations or it's a so-called Republican government and the corporations. And that's all I'm going to say on that. The next point I'd like to do is I'd like to give you some information for Mamiya. One of the things we know is that he was having several diabetic episodes, and he went into a diabetic coma. 2 days ago, or 3 days ago, they actually gave him spaghetti. And those of you who understand the nature of diabetes, you know that's the worst thing in the world they could have given him. And, of course, his statistics spiked in terms of his blood count, because they gave him spaghetti. And as we know from Lynn Stewart's sojourn in these death camps, one morning for breakfast, they gave the inmates cake for breakfast and nothing else. So it's either eat what they give you or starve. That's why we call them death camps. In addition, I would like to alert you that there are two petitions online. You can go to Mamiya, New York City, at yahoogroups.com, or, excuse me, info@freemamiya.com, and sign these petitions. There are currently two petitions online. In addition, there is a button for GoFundMe where you can make donations to the Free Mamiya cause to get him the proper medical care. And last but not least, these are some numbers you can call. We have to keep the pressure on. As those of you who are alert know, they tried to say the family can only visit once a week, and that would have meant that anything could have happened to Mamiya, and no one would have been there to say the eyes are watching. So the Pennsylvania Governor Wolf's number is 717-787-2500. Again, for the governor of Pennsylvania, 717-787-2500. For the superintendent of the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections, that's Wetzel, 717-284109. And we are demanding these four things: that Mamiya be allowed a healthy diet. Prison food contains no fresh fruits or vegetables and consists of food that is high in salt and sugar content. Mamiya must be given proper medical specialists and treatment to allow him to regain his health. As some of you may know, diabetes is not his only health issue. There are some other health issues that might be as life-threatening as the diabetes at this point, and he is in a great deal of pain. The third demand is that his wife, family, lawyers, friends, and supporters be allowed daily and prolonged visits. And the fourth and final demand is his attorneys and family be allowed access to Mamiya's medical records. And I would like to conclude by reminding you that in New York City, members of the anarchists and other groups have been maintaining their protests and their vigils outside P.C. Richards. I believe this upcoming weekend they will be up in Harlem at 125th Street, keeping the vigil on, protesting outside appliance stores against the companies that Brother Larry Pinckney alerted you to. And I would like to also make you aware of the fact that the constant calls that you make to your local politicians matter also. All of us should be contacting our political so-called leaders and letting them know if they can't support political prisoners, we can't support them when it's their time to be reelected. Let's keep the pressure on that Reverend Pinckney has started. Let's not only not vote for them, but let's recall them when they don't reflect our position for why we voted for them in the first place. Thank you, Brother Ralph. Thank you for allowing me to make this report.
Well, thank you so much. And as I see, we have so much information we want to give to you. It is even crowded for me. And I realize as we come to the end of our program, we haven't talked about what is happening in New York and the people who are falling through the cracks. And one of the people I would like everyone to begin to think about is the young man who took the pictures of what was happening with Eric Garner. And when he refused to turn the pictures over to the New York City police and held them for the defense of Eric Garner and the community, he is sitting in Rikers Island. The police were watching him. He was under threat. He was caught with a gun, and it seems that he is the forgotten person, one of the forgotten people in the movement. He is still in jail. We have to arouse all parts of the movement, not only for Reverend Pinckney or Mamiya, but for the people who do good acts to support the community, and then come under what is that the observation of police and get high bail set. And we forget, as Chairman Fred Hampton Jr. says, they may not be political people, but they do political acts. And the people who do political acts must be supported by political people. And so I thank everyone for tuning in tonight. We have so much to say, so many issues, and I am so happy that the UN and the Red Cross has finally figured out that the Palestinian people need support, medical support. And I was so happy to hear today that Ban Ki-moon and people in the Red Cross are talking about the Palestinians in some of the camps and how necessary it is to bring humanitarian support to them. And although I agree with them 1,000%, it is very important. I wonder where they were the last 50 years. When are they going to recognize this and do something about it? I hear someone in the background. And who is it? Hello?
Hello, Ralph. We hear you. We hear you.
Okay, give me your name.
No, Mary? I'm saying we hear you. I didn't hear anyone in the background. I was just confirming that we hear you.
Okay, we have come to the end of our hour, and as you can
I wonder if I could make a couple of quick announcements before we conclude.
Please
do. Okay, thank you very much, Ralph Pointer. I want you to know that I make human rights events, announcements, in my blog that's called Mary Loves Justice Human Rights Events. And the announcement that's on top is a rally against the KKK and racism in Tallahassee, Florida, on April 9th. And that's the Students for Democratic Society, the SDS, will hold a rally in Tallahassee, North Florida, on April 9th. The KKK chapter has been flyering, you know, they've been sending flyers in the Tallahassee neighborhoods, passing out racist and Islamophobic messages in an attempt to recruit. Recently, it was revealed that three KKK members who worked for the Florida Department of Corrections were plotting a murder of a black prisoner. So that will be on April 9th. The second announcement regards mental health parity. Mental health parity regarding Medicaid is on the table and open for comment. The Obama administration proposes rules for Medicaid mental health parity. The change could not cover, it would not cover, fee-for-service Medicaid. Write to Stephanie Armour at stephanie.armour at WSJ, that's WallStreetJournal.com. Write to Stephanie.armour, A-R-M-O-U-R, at WSJ.com in order to comment. It's open for comments regarding resuming Medicaid payments for people with mental illness. That will not cost America money. That will reduce America's prison budget, because as it is, people who are mentally ill, if they're not shot down during lunacy arrest, they are usually arrested and kept long-term in jails and prisons and supposedly treated there, because at least you pay for their treatment, but most of them do not get it, and they exit jail in a much worse shape than when they went. So please look at my blog, Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill, at Facebook and Google Plus, for that email address should you forget it. Remember that I make free human rights announcements at my blogs, and if you ever need to get in contact with me, it's MaryLovesJustice at gmail.com. So we want to say congratulations for all the advocates who worked against these vicious crimes against humanity that happen to the mentally ill and to drug abusers all the time, continually. And it seems that somebody is taking notice, because the discussion, at least, regarding resuming Medicaid for people with mental illness and drug addictions is on the table and open for comment. And again, there will be a rally against the KKK and racism on April 9th. Regarding Mr. Orta, that's Ramsey Orta, he needs over $16,000 for his bond. I understand he is on a hunger strike until he gets out of jail. He's afraid to eat. It's not that he's trying to, you know, be defiant. It's that he's afraid to eat, as Mr. Pointer said, because of the rat poisoning that was found in food there. And so, therefore, he's afraid to eat. He's losing weight. He's losing his health. And we need you to please donate to the Free Ramsey Orta GoFundMe. It's at GoFundMe. Donate. So far, it's going well. $9,000 have been raised, but $16,000, in excess of $16,000, is needed. So we're over halfway there. We've got $9,000. So we appreciate your interest in Ramsey Orta. We appreciate your interest in the Tallahassee anti-racism rally, and we appreciate you emailing
stephanie.armour@wsj.com, that's for wallstreetjournal.com, and letting them know that you are interested in resuming Medicaid for people with mental illness. The brain is an organ like the heart and like the kidneys. It should be treated if it's sick and not punished. So thank you very much, Mr. Pointer.
Well, thank you so very much, Mary, and thank all of the people. I thank all of the people who have tuned in. We have so much information to give you. I see we ramble on, but we will try to get it together in a more palatable format for next week. We are looking forward to hear from you next week, and we will bring you more news and more information that if you absorb it, we will improve or help to improve all of our lives. Thanks again, and good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for coming to Human Rights Demand. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has, and it never will. Those were the words of Frederick Douglass, and that is what we believe here at Human Rights Demand and at Ralph Pointer, What's Happening. You can email Mr. Pointer at Ralph Pointer, What's Happening at gmail.com. And do put the S on the what, but don't try to put an apostrophe. So God bless you and good night.
I know.